Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, a blessing indeed it is to be in thy house. And Lord, thy word is set before us, and we call upon thee that thou would bless our reading, bless our assembly. Lord, may we look to thee and lean upon thee, that thou, Lord Jesus, would open up the windows of heaven and pour out thy blessing upon this group as we have gathered together in thy name. We pray, O Lord, that we would receive a blessing from thee as we read and meditate upon the power of thy word. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn and read together with God's help from the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. I desire to read the first 9 verses.
Ljubazno, želim da se pročita zajednički iz Rimljanima 8. glava, prvi 9 brojeva.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. May God bless our
This past Sunday, we read in the morning a tremendous chapter on faith. And faith, we can see in this chapter what it actually will produce. And as we go through life, dear ones, we could oftentimes feel as victims of how we are created, with what desires we might have, and not able to fulfill the law of God, and instead of being victors over flesh, over the carnal mind, we go through life as victims, and we feel like if only God would take me out of this world, because the trouble is too hard for me. I'm always succumbing. I'm always tripping up and falling. But Jesus never prayed for that. He actually prayed to God. He said to the Father, I pray not that you would take these out of the world. So you see, but rather that we in the world would have peace. Victory is ours. Victory is given to those who have faith. It's assured. And we see it in this chapter of the heading in the Bible before me says the spirit and the flesh. And Paul opens up and he says, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And And just that term, Apostle Paul uses it, I believe, in probably every epistle that he writes. In Christ Jesus. The key is being in Christ Jesus. And there's going to be two classes here. Of all of us that are here, there can only be two classes of people. We are either condemned or we are not. To think about being under condemnation, that probably doesn't spark within us the reaction that it should. We are under condemnation if we are not in Christ. If we are in Christ, he says there is no condemnation. But then also being in Christ, he develops in the next few verses here that we have read of what that meaning is. It's not that I carry the name of baptized, the name of a Christian, I belong to a certain church, or that's not what that means. Being in Christ means in Christ. And the only way to come into that being of being in Christ is through what we have read and have meditated upon on Sunday morning. It's through faith. Faith, believing in Jesus Christ. And then through that faith, dear ones, what do we look to? What do we look to for victory? Do we look to the law? Do we look to the law for a means through which we can look at the law, find its definition, look to the law to give me victory? It clearly tells us the law cannot do that. The law cannot do that. He says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's two laws here. There is the law of sin and death, and there is the law of the Spirit of life which is in Christ. Again, in Christ. First two verses he's opening up, he's right away speaking of being in Christ Jesus. And so, dear ones, we can look at what is the spirit of the law, or what is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And I know I've mentioned it before, but it's when we are now under a law that is greater than the law of spirit or the law of the sin and of sin and death. It's like gravity. Until it's going to pull something down that falls. It's going to pull it down. That's the law of gravity. Unless another force greater than that law will raise it up. And so we are all under the law of sin and death. That is condemnation. There has to be a greater law, a greater force that will act upon us to lift us up, to give us the victory, so that the law of sin and death cannot pull us down. And that law is the spirit of life, and it is only found in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, dear ones, he speaks here of absolute victory. No victim, victory. Victory in Christ Jesus. The law cannot do that. I cannot look to the law to read the law of God, the commandments, the Mosaic law, to read what thou shalt do and look to that law for a means to which to fulfill it. It's not there. The law can't give that to me. The law condemns me. The law shows me my sinfulness. Think about it. If we break a law today, when we stand before a judge, we're not going to look to the law to give me liberty, to give me the liberty which I want. The law condemned me. I have broken the law, and the law condemns me. What do I look to? There needs to be someone who will take my place, who will pardon me, who will have mercy on me. I can't look to the law. That's why Paul says here, the law cannot do that. The law cannot do that. The law reveals He says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. So our sin was condemned in Christ. As he came in the flesh, it was in his flesh that our sin received the condemnation. And so the only way for us now to be free is to be in Christ. And faith, dear ones, now he says there is no condemnation, meaning we are now justified. What justifies us? Who justifies us? Does the law? No. We receive justification through Jesus Christ. But it's not there that it ends. He doesn't say that that's where it ends. He says, because he goes on, he says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law must be fulfilled in us. How? Who do we look to for that? Who do we turn to? Faith takes us to Christ. Faith joins us to Christ. Our belief in him, our trust in him, joins us to him. And when we are joined to him, we have assured victory. And because in the verse that we close with, verse number 9, he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He has no part of Christ. You have to have the Spirit of Christ in order to belong to him. If I belong to him, if I am in him, and I have the Spirit of Christ, I am justified and I am sanctified. Meaning, verse number 4 clearly says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. We are now sanctified by Christ. Not by the law. You can't turn to the law. Jesus Christ, I am in him. And he now, because now I through Christ, am able to bear and to bring fruit. And what is that fruit? The fruit of love. Dear ones, I cannot turn to the law for the law to teach me how to love my enemy. I cannot turn to the law. I have to have Christ. Christ is the one who will teach me to overcome my carnal mind. Because we know what the carnal mind says. The carnal mind is enmity. It is an enmity against God. It goes, our mind goes against God. We can see that in the patriarchs. We can see that in Isaac. And what is the flesh? It says that he loved Esau. Why? It doesn't say he loved Esau because Esau was a holy man of God. He loved Esau because Esau gave him venison to eat. He enjoyed that so much that he loved Esau because he was pleasing to his flesh. And he loved him for that. And he tried to thwart God's plan by giving the blessing to him, knowing that it belonged to Jacob. That's the carnal mind. When we go against God's plan for us, we have then turned to our carnal mind, and it says to be carnally minded is death. Death. You want to plan something? You want to do something? You want to overcome? You want to create a different way than the sanctification where it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That means I am now set apart for the work of God. I cannot live no longer according to the flesh. I no longer have a mind that is carnally minded, but is spiritually minded. It's life and peace. Christ prayed for us that we would have life and peace, not to be taken out of this world. But no, dear ones, we have victory here in the flesh, on this earth. There's victory, and it's only in Jesus. We sing the hymn, the beautiful hymn. Oh, victory in Jesus, in none other, not in me, not in the law, not in what I can do. I cannot turn now to say, okay, I've been bad this week. What do I do? I got to look at the law. Okay, I need to do this and this. I'm lost. I'm not going to find it there. That's being carnally minded. I'm looking to something that cannot save me. I have to look to Christ. I have to believe in him. I have to believe in his completed work. And then, dear ones, it doesn't end there. The victory is in my faith in him, which he then justifies me. He justifies them. He says, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We are justified. But it doesn't end. It doesn't end with justification, but then, because then it would seem like, well, now I'm justified. My faith justified me. I can now live my life however I please. That's not what the book says here. It needs the righteousness of law would be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If I'm going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the pride of, if I have any pride in me, it negates any love that I might have. You can't have a little bit of pride and a lot of love. There is no love when there's any pride. There's no love. There's none. You can't say, he says in verse 9, what we read, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if you are in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, you are now spiritually minded. And to be spiritually minded, then, is a fulfillment of the law of righteousness. And so we overcome pride, we overcome hate, we overcome anger, we overcome a competition one with another. We overcome these things. They no longer rule us. They no longer control us. We don't even think on those things because the law of God, spiritually minded, love, the law of love now has moved into my heart and has taken over my being complete, taken over me. I can't live the way I used to live. I can't because I'm spiritually minded. That's what Paul is writing. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay? Today I'm going to please the flesh. Tomorrow I'm going to please God. At least I get it right 4 out of the 7 days. No. If you're in the flesh, if you're pleasing the flesh, you cannot please God. Cannot. The carnal mind, my mind will say, yes, I can. I can, because I'm going to look to, okay, I'm going to go, we read, what, a few Sundays ago. I'm going to go feed the poor. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do this. He says, it means nothing. It means nothing. You're carnally minded. You're carnally minded. You're pleasing the flesh. And you cannot please God. You cannot do these things and expect to have the points added to your name. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so, dear ones, competition, you're in the flesh. You're in the flesh. I'm going to show you how good I am. You're in the flesh. I'm going to show you by my possessions how much better I am than you. You're in the flesh. I'm jealous of you when you have something and I want it. You're in the flesh. I want what you have. You're in the flesh. You cannot please God. Cannot. But Paul says, there is no condemnation. We're either condemned or we're not. If you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. But you're no longer in the flesh. You're no longer living a life in the flesh. Can we ever think while we are performing a carnal act that that is condemnation? That is death. Death. You know, we might think about things in life that if we lose our job, let's say, oh, we're gonna be so distraught and things are just crashing all around us. But we read, you are condemned if you are in the flesh. If you are serving the flesh, you're condemned. And we just merrily go our way. Why? Why can we read this and not take an inventory of our life and see, Is there pride within me? Is there levels of competition within me against my fellow brother or sister or friends? Are those things in me that are robbing me? Are they in me? Because if they are, I am condemned. A condemned person has no hope. He's condemned. He's going to die. And yet we have hope in Christ. And so are we going to, dear ones, look to Christ who justifies us, who sanctifies us, so that we would bear the fruit of love? A love that doesn't care, does not care if someone uses me. I don't care. I'm not distraught. I'm gonna lose sleep over them, over their soul, but not over me. That's what faith in Christ produces. I can't look to myself. I look to Christ. I believe in Him, and He justifies me because He took my sin and He sanctified me. So in other words, there's power. There's power. You cannot be in Christ and have no power. If you continually have no power, you have no Christ. You can't say, wait a minute, don't say that. If you have no victory, you have no Christ. That's what the verse closes with, that we close with, verse number 9. And so, dear ones, we are not to live lives that are all distraught. Oh, this, we simply are to look at our life and say, okay, is this what I want? I want to continue living this life, a life of misery, where I never feel good enough, in the sense that I'm not, for sure God's not going to save me. Why? Because I'm looking to the law and finding myself weak, but I don't despise that enough to turn to Christ and give Him my heart and go to the cross. That's faith. Faith will do that. Faith will say, enough of this. I want peace. I want life and peace that He's speaking of here. I want to be spiritually minded. I want to have life. I want to have peace. You can't have life and peace and be carnally minded. You can't produce the works of the flesh and have life and peace. You know, just think about our moments. Do we have flashes of anger, flashes of jealousy, flashes of just, there's not life, that's death. That's not peace. That's irritation, that's anger. And so, where are we lost? What is it? You see, what we do is we don't love God. We love what God has created. We love His creation more than Him, more than the Creator. And so we pursue the things that are created all around us. And we love ourselves, and we want those things for ourselves, and we want to be in the forefront. We want to be, and these are the things that are all carnal. It all brings death. And there's never peace. There's always irritation, anger, frustration, going on, looking for something and never finding it because we're looking in the wrong spots. And so, dear ones, as we read this portion of Scripture, you know, it begins with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. There's no separation for those who are in Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What is our hope? Well, I just hope that God sees that, you know, I did come to church. I lived for the most part a good life. I tried, you know, the irritations came, of course, and so on. And, you know, that's being carnally minded. That's saying, God, You said this. You said that You would set me apart for a life to fulfill and to bear the fruit of love and so on. But I know you didn't mean it because I can still get away with this and that. That's what we're saying. We're changing God's law. That's what we're attempting to do. And he just simply says that's death. You're carnally minded. You're dead. You're condemned. But we have Christ to turn to. But we have to believe in him. We have to have that faith that changes us, that creates in us a new man. That transformation that takes place. That's what this verse 4 is speaking of. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's that transformation that he speaks of in chapter 12. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is a sanctified life. This is what Christ gives us. He says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, 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 acceptable unto God. What is acceptable unto God? A little bit of sin? White lies? Petty arguing? Asserting myself better than you? What is acceptable unto God? Are those things acceptable to God? Is God going to look at those things and wink at them? He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. This is what a sanctified life produces. Don't be conformed to the world. This is what Christ gives us, sanctifies us. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's no longer a carnal mind, it's a spiritual mind. It's a spiritual mind. And so you may prove what is good. Prove. How are you going to prove it? Through a carnal mind? Through a spiritual mind. Prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We look at Christ. We look at Christ. See what we do oftentimes? We look to the law. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And what? Then I get the glory. I get the glory. Look what I did. I'm good. See? Yeah, we received the glory. But that's not what God intends. He wants us to glorify him. Christ receives the glory when we have faith in him, when we love him, when he justifies us because he destroyed sin in the flesh and he sanctified us and set us apart for a new life in Christ. He receives the glory. We did nothing. We believed. But that belief produces fruit, holy and acceptable unto him. May God give unto each of us, dear ones, in this evening a desire to really, really look at ourselves and look at, don't look at, I didn't murder anybody. Don't look at those things. The world can look at that and feel justified by the law. Feel justified by the law. We're not going to be justified there. We've got to let's look at our heart. What are my thoughts? What are my actions? How do I interact with my fellow man? What do I do? Where are my thoughts? Do I have love, compassion, mercy towards those who hate me, towards those who have used me, towards those who have done the things do I have those things? Because I can't find that in the law. I can find it in Christ. I have to look to him. He is the answer for all. May God bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.
Revealed unto mankind that the Lord has given his very best in sending his only begotten Son to die upon the cross and shed his precious blood that we might be forgiven of our sins. And there truly is no replacement for that. Yet the heart of man is very fickle and will seek to, or will be led astray to replace that, either by permitting sin or seeking to outweigh the good and the bad and not have Jesus Christ as the center of my faith and my trust for this life and the life to come. And so the life in Christ is a test, as the word says that the trying of our faith is like gold, but much more precious. And God is wanting to see and demonstrate the effectiveness of faith and a pure faith. And he will see, you've put much trust in me. Can you trust more? Can you yield more? Can you surrender more? And God will help us to grow. He's given us his word that's told us exactly what that precious price was and is. And he also grants us his spirit. Later on in this chapter, Apostle Paul writes of the Spirit, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So may we remember the lesson of faith and trust God. Trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. May God bless his word.